as well. I'm delighted to say, though, that we have our guest for today's show ready and waiting to join us on the line. He is a man who shares a passion of mine and I think has a bit of a smile on his face about recent events up at Hillsborough. We're going to talk to him about all things Champions League, though, today. It's Sky Sports' very own Mr. David Garrido joining me here. David, a pleasure to have you back on board, mate. How have you been?
Yeah, very well, thank you. We could talk about Wednesday till the cows come home, especially with recent events at Hillsborough, but let's just keep it Champions League, shall we? Otherwise, you literally won't get me off the phone. Happy to chat about that.
You could say that the cows, at least one big cow's left Hillsborough at the moment, but as I say, the less said about
that... You said that, not me. Can we make that clear? You said that, not me.
Very much so. David, let's get into some Champions League football. Actually, before we do, I would like to ask you very briefly. I saw Peter Vermes from SKC was down at the Sky Sports News studios the other day. Did you get to have a chance to chat with him at all? Because fantastic for him to be obviously MLS Cup winner on the weekend and then flown straight down to Sky Sports News to have a chat with you guys about it all.
Oh, absolutely brilliant. Sadly, was on air shortly afterwards. So I was busy doing other stuff, but I did see the interview. I think, you know, fantastic job he's done there with Kansas. I think, you know, it's great. And I think it really is helping the profile of the sport. We know all these sort of rumors and talk of David Beckham getting a franchise, probably in Miami. Jay-Z has said that he might help him out with it. So all these, you know, little ripples are definitely moving the sport in the right direction. So obviously great to see him down at Sky Studios and have Peter on. And, you know, we'll just see where it takes him from here on in, really.
What did you make of his comments about Jermaine Defoe and Frank Lampard? Apparently, Peter saying that they do have a future in Major League Soccer if they want one. I mean, Jermaine Defoe in particular, struggling for game time at Tottenham, he, arguably, the finishing qualities he's got, he could be a king in the US.
I think the only thing that he would worry about is his international future, but maybe Defoe doesn't really think there's much legs left in that either. I don't know. I mean, you know, you see Robbie Keane, for example, heading off to LA, hasn't done his international career any harm, still playing for the Republic of Ireland under Martin O'Neill now in charge. But it is a different scenario with England. And you would imagine that Roy Hodgson would like to see his players playing in the top leagues in Europe. So I think if he's off the radar that much, maybe he'll think, right, okay, I'm going to have to say goodbye to international football. But maybe that is a trade-off that he's willing to enter into. I think you're right. It's perhaps a little bit starker for Jermaine Defoe, that choice. You think maybe he would go for it. Frank Lampard, Bob, with Jose Mourinho sitting in charge at Chelsea, or coming back to Chelsea, I should say, I think, you know, he would plan to end his career there. So I would imagine only one of those two to go, and if either of them, it would probably be Defoe.
Now, David, I know you're a man of all things world football, but talking of Irish football just for a second, particularly Roy Keane, who's been in the press once again in the UK around all these Champions League games in the week. Did you catch the chat with Vieira on television this week? And what did you make of how Keane presented himself and his views on football in general? It seemed to me, and the reaction in general has been, he's quite an odd chap, people think.
You know, talking about ruthless and saying that naive, all these words, they're quite heavily charged. I think he's got to be careful. I mean, sure, he's got a job in management. You know, he's done this chat on British TV. But I don't think either himself or Alex Ferguson has really covered themselves in glory recently with their comments, or, you know, sometimes it's not what they've said, but what they haven't said, or areas that they haven't addressed. I think Roy Keane needs to be careful, but, you know, I'll say this happily on World Football Daily. Would I say it to his face? Probably not.
I don't think many of us would have the call to say it to Roy Keane's face, just in case. You never know what's in there. Let's talk about his Manchester United side, or former side, Manchester United. We touched on them yesterday, obviously, with their win against Shakhtar. Is this saving David Moyes at the moment, these performances in the Champions League?
His job, no. I mean, I think obviously the Premier League is a different kettle of fish and it is worrying. But I think it was always a long-term project with Manchester United, hence a six-year contract, hence Sir Alex Ferguson picking his own successor. And, you know, obviously a man who you would imagine cares deeply about Manchester United would want best for their future. And that is David Moyes in Sir Alex's eyes. I think that the Champions League has been a pleasant surprise for United fans. Not the toughest of groups, but also not the easiest. You've had to go to somewhere like Shakhtar, Bayer Leverkusen, doing well in the Bundesliga. And he's managed to, particularly the performances against Leverkusen, I mean, absolutely, you know, astonishing, you know, 5-0 away and 4-2 at home. So the fact that they've kind of cantered through the group, they finished top by 4 points, they will avoid one of the big guns. And if you look at the clubs that have finished second in their respective groups, the likes of Olympiacos, the likes of Schalke, Zenit St. Petersburg, you think those clubs, one of those, United should be able to beat, no problem. So I'm not sure it has completely and utterly, you know, I don't think his job is hanging on it. But, you know, he does need to pick up in the Premier League. But it is a nice surprise what's going on in the Champions League right now.
I suppose, as you mentioned there, those runners-up in the groups aren't the strongest, especially when you compare it to those group winners that are available for sides in the knockout stages. It highlights almost the blunder that it was for Arsenal for putting in such a shoddy performance really last night in Naples, finishing runners-up now, and they will take on one of those elite sides that's in those group winners selection.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think, you know, the fact that, yes, they won four of their six games, but they only scored eight goals over that time. They're all quite narrow, tight games. But originally, they started off with a win against Marseille, who they beat home and away. We knew this was going to be a tough group for Arsenal. And just to be able to try and get a point and secure that would have made the world of difference. And it's interesting, of course, you know, we talk about the big names, the likes of Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, Barcelona, who've all won their groups. But I tell you, one side that no one will want to face, and that is Atletico Madrid. They've got some real momentum at the moment. They've got this natural rhythm that they're into. Diego Costa scoring for fun. Raul Garcia chipping in with goals. Koke as well supplying, and one of the most underrated players in Europe. And one of the most fearsome managers in European football right now. You know, not dissimilar to Roy Keane, I guess you could say, in terms of, you know, the way that he faces up and, you know, his high passion and energy and drive for the game. And that's Diego Simeone. And I think they are the one not so dark horse anymore that a lot of people will be desperate to avoid when it comes to that draw on Monday.
I see you were watching Thierry Henry last night as well, who said the reiterated those sentiments completely yesterday evening as he talked about Champions League. And David, whoever books the guests on Sky Sports, you have to give them my congratulations, because Henry, I thought, was fantastic with his analysis last night.
Yeah, particularly popular with our sort of female co-presenters, I found.
Oh,
just
really?
Chatting with a number of them. Yeah, can't quite, you know, put my finger on it. And they had such an ugly panel yesterday with him and, you know, with, you know, obviously Jamie Redknapp, you know, neither of them are going to trade on their looks, are they?
So, Jeff Stelling's got that silver fox.
Obviously me, you know, with some sort of sour grapes there. But no, I mean, yeah, he was, and it's fascinating to hear what someone like Henry has to say, because the way that he expresses himself, and he does have some strong opinions about the game.
Arsenal, in the same way we were disappointed with City and maybe their lack of preparation going into that final game, could have won the group. But much like City, Arsenal, had they been offered second place and through to the knockout round at the beginning of this group, especially considering they had Dortmund, Napoli and Marseille, they would have taken this. There is disappointment of how it's happened. They could have topped the group, but they would have taken a second place and just through to the knockout stages when the season started.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Borussia Dortmund, although they've had a funny old season, they've kind of gone in peaks and troughs, started off like a train, looked absolutely brilliant. But then, you know, the odd defeat here and there, they lost in Naples. They had three defeats on the bounce only recently and had to come back to form and lost their Clasico, of course, against Bayern Munich as well. But at the start of the season, you know, Jurgen Klopp was one of the most highly rated managers and still is on the continent. And, you know, they seem to get it. They seem to get how to play in Europe. They seem to really have that utter counter-attacking pace and knew how to squeeze opposition. Napoli, obviously, with Rafa Benitez in charge, having recruited so well from Real Madrid with Callejon, Higuain, Albiol as well, Pepe Reina, you know, lots of really known, renowned performers, both domestically and in European football. And Marseille, you never know. Okay, they ended up with no points whatsoever. Perhaps a little bit more disappointed, but they knew that essentially in this group, they were the ones who were the weakest. But yeah, you're right. Therefore, it was 3-2, doesn't go. But Arsenal, I think, you know, they've acquitted themselves okay. They've managed to scrape through. It's yet another progression to the knockout stage. And they've got a couple of months now to kind of just figure out where they are. Obviously, they're doing well in the Premier League. They've got a 5-point lead. Now they've got to just kind of say, right, what are our priorities? I dare say it will be Premier League first, Champions League second for Arsene Wenger.
Do you think he will have to make that choice? That squad depth has been criticised already this season, and people are waiting almost for that winter injury crisis that seems to annually hit Arsenal to affect them and force them to choose one competition. So should Arsenal fans just expect, you know, the Champions League is any bonus at the moment then?
I think given the fact they finished second in their group, they are going to, you know, face a very tough draw. I mean, looking through which of the teams that are either not English or perhaps slightly weaker than the others would you like to face? Well, PSG, is that the best chance they've got? possibly Atletico, although, you know, as I mentioned before, I wouldn't certainly like to face them in the current form they're in. That might have changed in 2 months' time, but, you know, my goodness, it's going to be very, very tough. There's a real... You can see that the sort of roles here, the group winners really are the creme de la creme. The runners-up really are, most of the time, the second tier down. So it is going to be tough. I think it would be a bonus. But, you know, they have gone deep in this competition before 2006. Of course, reached the final, lost in Paris to Barcelona. But, you know, if you had to choose one, I think most Arsenal fans would say the Premier League, because it has been a long time. It's been a long time to any trophy, of course. But I just kind of feel that one would mean more, given the fact that, of course, Chelsea, Manchester City, Manchester United are the powers that they are currently, both domestically and on the continent.
When we talk about in European football, the phrase football royalty gets thrown around a lot. But when you look at the sides that have gone through, aside possibly from Juventus and Galatasaray taking that second spot yesterday in the terrible conditions in Istanbul, when you look at these groups, is it pretty much football royalty that's gone through? Is this one of the best Champions League knockout rounds that we've seen? There are hardly any minnows you would call in this.
Yeah, knockout. I'd say, I mean, if you were going to pick... you know, maybe the slightly bigger sides that haven't gone through. Napoli, yes, okay. I would say Chelsea's group is quite weak. So, you know, whether it's Schalke or Basel, you know, that one you're really splitting heads. I'm surprised that Benfica didn't go through, if I'm honest. It's Olympiacos who finished second behind PSG. And likewise Porto, who were beaten by Zenit, with both teams losing on the final match day. And, you know, it was in their hands. Of course, I had to go to Atletico Madrid and get a result, but it simply didn't happen. And it was quite surprising to see Austria Vienna, of all people, beat Zenit. But, you know, maybe actually, yeah, you're right. Ultimately, I think it is the strongest group. So I would have think maybe a couple of teams I would have chosen to get the utter sort of top 16 nations from the original 32. But we are going to have some absolutely stellar clashes when it comes around, you know, February for that last 16.
You mentioned that Austria-Vienne win against Zenit last night. A fantastic win. Some lovely goals from the Austrian side. Playing for pride, you saw that coming out of Austria-Vienne last night. Celtic, on the other hand, the complete opposite, and their manager Neil Lennon spoke about that and how disappointed he was. But that would have been really crushing for them to have gone out in such spectacularly demoralising fashion last night.
It's such a, you know, what a difference a year makes. I mean, you know, this time last year, it was all about that win against Barcelona, Tony Watt, and, you know, scoring it. To win that one at Celtic Park, and then the win over Spartak Moscow away from home, their one and only win away from home in the Champions League proper, so discounting qualifiers and playoff matches. At this time round, you felt that, you know, once they suffered maybe their second defeat on match day two, yes, of course, they did have the one win on match day three when they beat Ajax at home by two goals to one. But, you know, once they were already behind the eight ball, you felt that they were kind of thinking, well, I'm not sure we can pull off the same trick twice in as many years, and they just nosedived after that. You know, no surprise that they would lose to Barcelona, but I was surprised by the 1-0 defeat at Ajax and the 3-0 defeat at home to Milan, who are no great shakes this season. Milan, an awful side in Serie A. They're mid-table. They're a good 15 points off the leader. I think actually it's more than that. I think by now it's probably closer to 20 points. So I was really surprised by how Celtic fails to kind of address this challenge compared to the way that they managed it last time round.
Just finally before we go, David, moving slightly away from the Champions League, and the news breaking today that Newcastle United are possibly going to be bringing in payment schemes for national paper journalists to attend games at St James's Park. You're a member of a media company that obviously pays them a lot of money to be able to go to games, to broadcast games. Is this just the national newspapers having to catch up with what television and radio have been doing for however long now? Or is this maybe the start of a slightly darker time in football with commercialisation of the game again?
Well, I mean, you know, we've seen it a few times with Newcastle. Mike Ashley has a, how can I put this, creative approach towards sort of making money sometimes. You know, the sportsdirect.com arena, which no one, you know, took on. People just ignored that. It's St James's Park. And as far as we're all concerned, it will probably always be St James's Park. I mean, I found that a little shocking, if I'm honest, because, look, you know, it's a free press. It's one of the greatest things about, you know, where I live, where we broadcast from. You know, we all have the right to express our own opinion. You shouldn't have to pay to do that. So I do have sympathy with our colleagues, you know, on Fleet Street and in the papers. You know, I think it's something that, you know, hopefully will just go away, will be discounted. There've been another number of slightly funny things I've had this week. I'm sure you've heard, Ollie, about the whole Tigers situation with the club applying to the FA to have their name changed to Hull Tigers from Hull City FC. And you can imagine, you know, fans just feeling so utterly frustrated and disgruntled and angry about this, because it's a question of their identity. There's some very funny decisions or suggestions being mooted right now. Maybe it's silly season. Maybe it's what happens before Christmas. I don't know. But I think we need to go and get a grip at some point.
It definitely is almost silly season, as you say. But it's also, it highlights how almost the Premier League has been slightly kind of bastardised compared to some of the other leagues around Europe that have obviously retained that identity, and commercialism isn't so kind of ingrained in their football. The Premier League, of course, the most popular league in the world. It's almost that disappointing side of what happens when the money comes in now, isn't it, though?
It is. And clearly, you know, with the rights deals that have been done, there's a lot of money paid for what is, you know, has turned out to be a fantastic product. I mean, you know, the Premier League is you know, one of the most exciting leagues on the planet, and people watch it and watch it for good reason. You know, some of the players that play on these shores are some of the best that we will ever see, not only in a generation, but probably in our lifetimes. Now, you know, there are other things, though, that we do better here than in other places. If you consider, for example, the repartition of TV revenue in the Premier League, very, very fair. Between, you know, top spot and, you know, bottom team in the Premier League, it's not a massive difference. And the way that you decide how much you get is on your league placing. Compare that with Spain, and you have Barcelona and Real Madrid both earning 140 million euros a year as part of the latest TV deal. And the next one's down, Valencia and Atletico Madrid, 42 million euros a year. So almost 100 million euros less a year. Do Barcelona and Real need that kind of leg up? I don't think they do. So it's kind of swings and roundabouts, to be honest. I think we've got to be careful of, you know, how much we lay into the Premier League. It is actually one of our greatest exports, and there's some things that we do better here than they do on the continent.
I'm sure Real Madrid do need that money if they do look to go and break the transfer record again for somebody like Luis Suarez. But and they won't be complaining about that, I'm sure. But no, very very well said indeed, David. We will let you get back to getting on the television and giving us all of our news through Sky Sports News for football and all the latest updates on sports. And I just hope Thierry Henry hasn't stolen your thunder and your swagger around the Sky Sports News studios.
only my pride is wounded. It takes a day to repair it. You worry, Ollie, but no, absolute pleasure as always, mate. Good to speak to you.
And you. Thanks very much for joining us, David, and we will catch up with you very soon indeed, mate. David Garrido joining us here on World Football Daily, talking all things Champions League wrap-up from last night and giving us his breakdown of some of the toughest sides to meet in the next stage. Atletico Madrid popping up on his lips, as it has popped up on a number of people's lips, and giving us the rundown of everything that took place with Arsenal last night. I've already had my little rant about Napoli. Nice to see it from an Arsenal point of view, and I think rightfully so. They should be happy to at least be in second place and to be out of that group, a group that has taken the scalps.